With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Moncrief on News Talk.
When it was being built, the Empire State Building was the tallest building in the world. And with safety standards nothing like those enforced today, the workers dangled from girders, bolting it all together. They ate their lunch up there. It was so far up that if anyone fell, it would take 11 seconds for them to hit the ground. A new book called Men at Work tells the stories of some of these men, many of whom were Irish. Glenn Kurtz is the author. Good afternoon, Glenn.
Good afternoon. It's good to talk with you.
First, tell us about Lewis Hine. And now, maybe listeners may well have seen some of his work. He was sent up there to take photographs of these men. Is that right?
That's right. He was hired as the official photographer of the construction. He had already a long career. He'd begun photographing immigrants at Ellis Island, and then he was involved in documenting child labor in the United States in the 19-teens. And then in 1930, he was hired to document the construction of the Empire State Building.
And the brief was just the workers, not the kind of rich people who'd commissioned all this.
Well, that's right. And in fact, there's quite a lot of misinformation about him. He was such a magnificent artist, and I'm sure that your listeners have seen the photographs, even if they don't know they're by him. But because he was such a genius photographer and the artworks that he produced are so powerful, I think the idea has been that he was hired because he was a great artist. And to take pictures of sort of picturesque men and the, you know, romantic construction of this building. But that's not at all the case. In fact, he was hired to document a very particular set of workers, and these were men who had won awards for their craftsmanship. So many of the photographs that he made are not of these anonymous figures, but rather of specific guys who were being singled out for their craftsmanship.
Ah, and so the people who had won awards for the craftsmanship, I assume their names had been recorded, but perhaps there were photographs of many other people, and no one recorded their names.
Well, that's certainly true. And that's one of the funny things and sort of the centerpiece of my book is that in the lobby of the Empire State Building, there's a plaque with the names of these 32 men who won craftsmanship awards. But no one had ever associated those names with the photographs of Lewis Hine. They had sort of developed along completely separate paths. The lobby plaque is kind of obscure and nobody really noticed it. And the photographs went on to become, you know, famous worldwide. So what I've been able to do in my book is to connect the names and the faces and to give sort of biographies and in some instances connect with descendants of the people who were listed on this plaque. Of course, Hine also photographed many other people in the context of the construction, and some of those identities it's been possible to recover, but many of them, yes, they just remain unknown.
Yeah. Now, was it the case that the construction workers, and there was thousands of them, about 3,000, I think, that they were were they all immigrants?
Well, they weren't all immigrants, but many of them were. Indeed, Irish immigrants were a large portion of the workers. And among the men who won these awards, quite a number were recent immigrants. I'm thinking, for example, of Owen Scanlon, who was born in Ireland in 1911. He appears in the 1911 census. He was 5 years old already at that time, but he came to the U.S. At age 21 and was worked on the Empire State Building just 3 years later.
Yeah. What other, I suppose, immigrant communities did the workers come from?
Well, you know, it was really, you know, in this sort of golden age of American immigration, it was very much a melting pot. You had workers from all over. There were quite a number of Scandinavian carpenters, typically. There were Italian terrazzo workers and concrete workers, also Irish steel workers, iron workers. There was a man from Finland. There were several people from Russia that I've documented. So really, yeah, they came from all over. And at the same time, there were some sort of long-time American residents. There's one man, a painter, George Adams, who seems to have been distantly related to the second U.S. president, John Adams.
Hmm. And were there many Native Americans working on the construction?
Yeah, the Native American iron workers, they're certainly among the most famous workers on the building. They represented a tiny, tiny minority of the iron workers. At the time, there's a tribe of Mohawk iron workers from just south of Montreal in Canada, who had been traditionally working in iron construction since the 1880s, and they had what was called at that time a colony in Gowanus in Brooklyn. And there were probably altogether about 300 in the U.S. at the time. So of that 300, they would have been, you know, spread out working on different jobs all over the country. So a handful worked on the Empire State Building. But yeah, they became very famous later, actually. It was in 1949. There was a famous article published in the New Yorker magazine called Mohawks in the High Steel. And that really brought attention to them as a distinct identity. But at the time, since they were mostly from French-speaking Canada, they were considered French-Canadians.
Ah, right, of course, yes. And this was the 1930s. It was after the First World War. There were, rumblings from Europe. What was the general attitude towards immigrants at the time in the U.S.?
Well, sad to say, anti-immigrant feeling is nothing new in America. Certainly after World War I, the attitudes towards immigration became much harsher. And many of these men faced terrible prejudice. I mean, today we speak about Irish and Italians as being white, but at the time they weren't considered so, and certainly not Eastern Europeans. So there was a great deal of prejudice against them at the time. But they were also recognized as having particular skills that were necessary. So I think the story that many of these men's lives demonstrate, it's really, you know, the traditional great American story of coming to the U.S., facing hardship, having, you know, little money, but some being willing to work, and working yourself up from, you know, poverty or impoverished immigrant into, you know, the American middle class. Mm-hmm. And that's the story for many of these men that I've been able to document.
Yeah, and I suppose one could be forgiven for thinking they must have been all young and fit, but one of the other, Peter Madden, he's Irish-American, an asbestos worker, but when he was working when he was working on the Empire State, he was in his 50s.
Yeah, that's right. They were all different ages. And of course, it's stratified to some extent by profession. The iron workers tended to skew somewhat younger, although not by any means entirely. There are several men, if you look at the photographs, who were clearly in their 50s or even 60s. But in the other professions, these were men who were working. You know, this was before there wasn't Social Security. There weren't retirement benefits and IRAs. To have your retirement accounts. So men worked until they couldn't work anymore.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story. Glenn, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Glenn Kurtz there. It's called Men at Work, the Empire State Building and the Untold Story of the Craftsmen Who Built It. And it, of course, also features some of those spectacular photographs.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.